morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. And that hymn that we heard should be a reminder to us that on the fourth Sunday of this month, we are not having worship here. And instead, we're going to be joining with Union Congregational for an old-fashioned hymn sing. If you have not provided me a listing of your favorite old-time hymns mean something before you were born, okay? Just in case you were wondering, long before you were born, for some of you out there. So we'll be gathering with them for an old-fashioned hymn sing and an ice cream social. So your last chance to get in those old-time hymns that you might want us to hear. Okay. Our food pantry volunteers for this week are Shirley Gorman, Linda Morgan, and Mary Lett. On the first Sunday of the month, we acknowledge our birthdays and our anniversaries. My word, there are a lot of birthdays for the month of July. So, July 3rd, Dennis Dobbin. July 4th, Linda Morgan. On the 8th, Mona Pickering. The 13th, Elise Searle. The 14th, Annika Huntley. The 16th, Paul Johnson. The 18th, Ryan Nichols. The 27th, Loretta Funk. Also the 27th, Ian Goddard. The 29th, Leslie Pearson. And the 31st, Sandra Olson. So let us pause and pray for all those people with birthdays this month. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of these individuals who are part of our faith community. As they celebrate their birthdays this month, Lord, just surround them with your grace and your mercy and help them in the course of this year with whatever they encounter, both the joys and the sorrows. Let them know that you are always with them in all things. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We also have a number of anniversaries. On July 1, it was Chris and Tracy Johns. July 2, Carl and Lois Madsen. July 4 is my own anniversary with my husband. On the 17th, Paul and Kay Thompson. The 27th, Bill and Denise Hawley. And the 31st, Tyler and Jill Searle. So let us pause and pray for those who have anniversaries this month. Our good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you for bringing people together to share their lives. Be with those who are celebrating anniversaries this month. Just be with them and surround them with your love. Let them reflect your love to each other, to their entire families, and to the world. We ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our final announcement is next Sunday, 2 p.m., we have a church council meeting. Do we have any other announcements? There is one more. People were asking, what is that that's on the table? I started some sourdough, and I'm the sort who really didn't want to throw anything away. And when you read the directions, you'll see that for those first few days, you're supposed to throw away half, and I didn't. So I had my one jar, then I had a second jar, then it took over a bowl, and then it took over every container that I had. So I brought with me some jars of sourdough starter, instructions on how to care for it and what to do in case it dies and you want to start it over again, and also a bread recipe. You have been so generous in sharing your produce, in sharing gifts of jelly, in sharing everything, that this is just one way of letting me give back to you. So you can do with it what you'd like. You can bake with it. You can put it in the refrigerator until you can figure out what to do with it, but then you need to feed it. You can give it to, you can bake it up, make, give it to friends, whatever you'd like to do with it. Yes. All sorts of things you can do. So I've given you one recipe, and you can do anything with it. Let me know how it turns out. I'd like to hear about that. I did have someone ask, is this California sourdough or is this buffalo? No, this is buffalo sourdough made with these ingredients, water, flour, and the wild buffalo yeast. Please stand as you're able for our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, number 522, as we gather at your table. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and hear our solemn prayer. We come to hear your living word. It saves us from despair. Mercy on us, Christ.
Let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the 28th chapter of Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." This is the word of our Lord. Let's now read responsively Psalm 89. "Your love, O Lord, forever I will sing. From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness."
For I am persuaded that your steadfast love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in advance.
I've made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant.
I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations.
Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence.
They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness.
For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted. Our second reading for this morning comes from the 6th chapter of Romans. "Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from life, from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented yourselves as members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now, present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For the past 3 weeks, our gospel lesson has been from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is preparing the 12 to go out in mission to the world. He began by describing what they were to do as he gave them authority to cast out demons and to cure every type of disease and sickness. He sent them first to people who shared their language and culture. As they went, they were to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come, and they were to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Jesus told them to find a worthy place in each town or village they entered and greet it with a message of peace. If they were not welcomed, their peace would return to them, and they were to shake the dust of that place from their feet as they moved on. They were warned that their mission would be fraught with danger, that they would be handed over to councils and flogged in their worship spaces, that they would be dragged before authorities, and that they would be betrayed by those they trusted and hated by those who opposed their teaching. But Jesus also spoke words of comfort, telling them that if God cares for the sparrows, how much more God cares for them. He said that if anyone acknowledges him before others, he will acknowledge them before his Father in heaven. And today, he tells them that anyone who welcomes them welcomes him, and anyone who welcomes him welcomes the one who sent him. That anyone who provides even something so small as a cup of cold water to them shall be rewarded. Before Jesus asked his disciples to do anything, he first modeled what he was expecting from them. They watched him as he healed those who came to him, as he healed them or their loved ones, regardless of who they were, whether they were righteous followers of God, social outcasts, or non-believers. He healed people who came to him in desperation when all other attempts had failed, such as a woman suffering from an issue of blood for 12 years who sought just to touch the hem of his garment, or the religious leader who asked him to heal his daughter who had just died. He touched the untouchable, the leper, the ritually impure, the dead. He healed not only physical illnesses, but deeper concerns, restoring people to community with God and with one another. He opened the scriptures and preached how what had been prophesied long ago by Isaiah and the other prophets was being fulfilled. He taught them using language they could understand, telling stories of fields and flocks and family that stayed in their minds and opened their hearts. He called as a select group of 12, not those who were the most learned or those with the highest social standing, but common folk like fishermen and social pariahs like Matthew the tax collector. He showed them in word and deed how to be part of the mission to call people back into a right relationship with God and others. Jesus was rejected by some but received by others, and he told his disciples that they should expect the same treatment that he received. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me," he said. The act of welcoming does not go unnoticed by God. Those who go out in mission and those who welcome them by showing hospitality are seen by God. When I was in elementary school, I heard lots of stories about missionaries and the work that they did in places like Africa and Asia. I longed to be a missionary to bring the word of God to people who had not heard or who had not received the message of the kingdom of God, maybe to even die for Christ. That was always lifted up as something wonderful that would cancel out all of our sins and failings and earn us a direct ticket to heaven. I think of my family member who did become a missionary and was recently jailed while trying to deliver a shipment of food and medicine on a regularly scheduled route to an orphanage. That was what, in my childhood imagining, it means to really go out in mission. I never dreamed back then that I would be sent to such places as Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Places that are or seem Christian, where churches abound, where people have heard about God and have developed their own opinion about how to be Christians. But these are also places where churches struggle to keep their doors open, where people who consider themselves Christian hunger and thirst for the gospel message, but won't go into the churches where that message is preached. According to an article on the Pew Research website, the religious landscape of the United States continues to change at a rapid clip. In Pew Research Center telephone surveys conducted in 2018 and 2019, 65% of American adults describe themselves as Christians when asked about their religion, down 12 percentage points over the last decade. Meanwhile, the religiously unaffiliated share of the population, consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, now stands at 26%, up from 17% in 2009. Both Protestantism and Catholicism are experiencing losses of population share. Currently, 43% of U.S. adults identify with Protestantism, down from 51% in 2009, and one in five adults are Catholic, down from 23% in 2009. Meanwhile, all subsets of the religiously unaffiliated population, a group also known as religious nuns, have seen their numbers swell. Self-described atheists now account for 4% of U.S. adults, up modestly but significantly from 2% in 2009. Agnostics make up 5% of U.S. adults, up from 3% a decade ago. And 17% of Americans now describe their religion as nothing in particular, up from 12% in 2009. Members of non-Christian religions also have grown modestly as a share of the adult population. And more Americans now say that they attend religious services a few times a year or less. They say, 45% of them, that they attend at least monthly. 45% attend at least monthly. What that means is that while 65% of American adults may describe themselves as Christians, many are nominal Christians, Christians in name only. Their understanding of what it means to be a Christian is often vague. They do not see regular participation in the life of the church to be important. As a result, thousands of churches every year close their doors. Nominal Christianity is easy. It does not require a changed life, a new heart, a love for God, or obedience to God's word. It only requires church affiliation and perhaps attendance at Christmas or Easter or funerals. Can you recall going through the door of an unfamiliar church? How it feels to be in a strange place among strangers? Do you remember whether anyone came to greet you? Whether they made sure that you had a bulletin? Whether they invited you to fellowship time? I think back to my first visit to a church I worked with while I was in seminary. I walked in and felt ignored. People were sitting in clusters in the church. Clearly, they knew each other. During the exchange of the peace, no one made an effort to greet me. No one invited me across the breezeway to coffee hour, but I found my way there. Again, people were sitting in clusters. I believe that I quickly ate my cookie and drank my juice and went home. Later, after people learned that I was a seminarian and would be with them for a while, they became very friendly toward me, hugging me when I arrived, seeking me out during the exchange of peace and during fellowship time. I tried an experiment one day and asked my husband to come. He arrived at a different time and in a different vehicle, and during the entire service, only one person, the assigned greeter, ever spoke to him. During the coffee hour, when I introduced him, everyone clamored to meet him. This church, by the way, prided itself on being warm and friendly. And they were, to people they knew. But it was not a place where strangers felt welcome. When I was in Oklahoma for a summer doing hospital chaplaincy training, I visited as many churches as I could. It gave me a chance to observe hospitality. I was spending the summer with a friend from high school and attended her Baptist church a couple of times. I had visited it previously when I had been out there, and some of the people remembered me. I went to their adult Sunday school as well as their worship service. Because I was with my friend who made sure that I was introduced, I felt warmly welcomed. I was confused when I attended one communion Sunday, but they were all confused too, as they were trying a different method for communion than was usual for them. I also attended several Lutheran churches. In one, I spoke with the pastor right after worship and introduced myself as a seminarian who was at the hospital there for the summer. He invited me to return in a few weeks for the celebration of his 40th anniversary of ordination. I did return that Sunday, and several other Sundays. Of all the churches I attended that summer, that is the only one that put me on their email list. I enjoy reading what is going on there and occasionally send a message to their pastor. For my ordination, he sent me a card stating that he would be praying for me every day during my first year of ordination. Now that is welcoming. At our last church council meeting, we engaged in a discussion about what it means to be welcoming as a church. When we say all are welcome, what do we mean? Will we welcome those with a different skin color, those whose native language is not English, those with physical and mental challenges, those with different political views, those whose family structures do not look like ours? We had an extended conversation and came to this determination. We welcome all who are seeking to know about Jesus and what Jesus can do in their lives. That's a start. Perhaps we will not know how welcoming we really are until we encounter a challenge. Would we be welcoming to my sister and her youngest son, who is nonverbal and vocalizes loudly? Their local church has no accommodations for them, so my sister rarely attends. I hope someday they will be able to visit, and then we can find out. When we think about hospitality, we should think not only about the ways we welcome strangers, but the ways we welcome those we know. Are we making everyone feel like valued members of our community? Are there ways that we can do better in being welcoming toward one another? We are welcoming in seemingly small ways. We have an elevator for those who have mobility challenges. We have a large print bulletin and a decent sound system, though I think we need to do better for those with hearing challenges. We have refreshments at fellowship time and encourage people to join us. We practice open communion, and I will not turn down anyone who comes forward and wants to receive Jesus. We have people who love to talk with people they don't know. I've sometimes had to interrupt a long conversation people are having with a newcomer in order to introduce myself. We try to get people to sign the guest book or to give us their information so that we can put them on our email list. These are seemingly small things, but they can mean a lot to people who are not so sure that they should walk through our door. They can be that cold drink of water given to one sent by God to teach us about the coming of God's kingdom. When we welcome those who come through our doors, strangers as well as friends, let us welcome them as we would welcome Christ. In the words of Mother Teresa, let us do small things with great love. Amen. Let us join together on our hymn of the day, number 641, All Are Welcome.
Thank you.
And let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need.
We pray for the church, for wisdom to heed the voices of prophets in our midst, who cast a vision of God's promised future, for courage to welcome all people whom society rejects, for resolve to serve all in need. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray for creation, for all rivers, lakes, oceans, and streams, for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, or wildfires, for conservation organizations and environmental activities, for scientists working on clean energy solutions. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray for this nation and for all nations, for presidents, governors, and legislators, for judges, juries, district attorneys, and public defenders, for our military personnel, for those who are incarcerated. Guide us in ways of freedom that promote the common good. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray for those in need, for exiles, immigrants, refugees, and those seeking asylum, for victims of harassment, torture, or abuse, for those who are ill, especially those listed on our prayer chain, and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. For any near death, and for all who grieve, God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray for children, for their safety at home and in childcare settings, for their flourishing at summer programs and camps, for the many people who care for them, including parents and grandparents, child care workers and teachers, coaches, counselors and mentors, pediatricians, counselors and psychologists. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all the saints and prophets who have received the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May their lives of humble service inspire us in faith. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you embrace us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy,
holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal, among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. And gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,